Cradio, nourishing the soul of the digital generation.
This is Cradio coming to you from the Australia Day Life and Family National Conference, brought to you by FLI and the Population Research Institute. It's a lovely sunny day in Albury, and it's my pleasure to be joined with Mrs. Vera Mosher. Some of you may know her as Mrs. Steve Mosher from the Population Research Institute. And we're just having a little chat about what it's like to be a wife and a mother. Welcome, Vera.
Thank you.
It's lovely that you're here. And I believe you're from Virginia in the States.
Yes, Northern Virginia, where it's very cold right now, so I'm very happy to be here where it's sunny and warm.
And 40 degrees Celsius.
Yes, I'm loving that very much.
And so to travel all this way for a conference, it must be quite important to you. Can you tell us why you and your husband came to Australia, down under?
Well, of course, to participate in this conference that Steve's Research Institute, Population Research Institute, is co-sponsoring, but to spread the message of hope to pro-lifers in Australia, because I know it's a big battle. We know it's a big battle down here. But after experiencing this conference, there is great hope for Australia.
I'm heartened to see a lot of the youth here.
Yes.
And also a lot of people from the medical profession.
Yes, it is. It is very heartening. I think there is going to be a new tide with the young people taking a more pro-life position and regarding life as sacred. So it is a good thing.
It is indeed. And you're married to Steve, as,
yes,
as we know, and you've been blessed with children?
Yes, we have 9 children. And they range from age 28 to 12, and we are now blessed with 2 grandsons. Our daughter and son-in-law have given us 2 grandsons, William, who is 3, and Teddy, Theodore, who is 1. And they are adorable and so much fun.
Aww.
And we have children on their own, 2 on their own, graduate student and 1 in the Navy. And we have 3 at university, and then we have 3 young ones, 17, 15, and 12, still at home.
Wow. What a blessing, 9 children.
It is. It is.
I imagine that's somewhat difficult at times.
It was hectic in the early days, but I took it all in stride. It was just one day at a time, one child at a time, and we grew, and as our numbers grew, we were just comfortable with how large we were. We didn't see ourselves as different until we perhaps were in public and someone would say, "Oh, are all these children yours?" Yes, they are. But we homeschooled for many years, 20, and then
20 years you homeschooled.
Yes, I was a public school teacher before I became a wife and mother.
Wow.
She taught in public schools in California. And then about the time our daughter was getting ready for school, Steve had mentioned homeschooling, and I thought, homeschooling, what is that? It's for hippie leftovers. What are you talking about? And he would leave literature around, and I'd pick it up and read it. Well, we had a year in public school, kindergarten, and I did not like what was happening. I didn't like what my daughter was experiencing, and I would have to deprogram her at the end of the day. And then we thought, okay, let's try Catholic school, good private Catholic school. And while the religious part of the education was fantastic, and the academics was very good, you still have children who are exposed to things that you don't necessarily want your children exposed to. So it was really not so different from the public school. It was the education beyond the education that I did not want my child receiving. I wanted to maintain her innocence, and I wanted her to hear about the facts of life in our time and through our faith. So I thought, okay, homeschooling, that's the ticket. And so we pulled her out about 2/3 of the way through the first grade year. We just had enough, and our 4th child had been born, and it was very difficult. So it was just time. So we homeschooled for 20 years, and the oldest through high school before she went into junior college. And then I was just so busy. We'd moved to Virginia that the older children went into a Catholic co-op of like homeschoolers, you know, just to kind of help me out while I was working with the younger ones. And they would do that for a while. And then we found a private academy, because where we live in the Shenandoah Valley, it's a very conservative area. So we don't have any Catholic high schools. So we went to a Christian academy for the older children for a few years before they went on to college. And then as the children got older, I became more active with PRI and helping Steve. So between our farm, and we have cows, cattle, pigs, chickens, children, so many things to do, helping volunteer with PRI, running the farm, homeschooling, it just got to be a bit too much. And then, you know, helping with the older children. So we put our children into our parish Catholic school, and we've been very happy. I substitute there, I volunteer there, and it has worked out, and it allows me to travel with Steve.
Okay.
So there you have it.
For those of our listeners who weren't aware, Steve gave some wonderful talks throughout this conference. Steve mentioned some various things about your working together and how you've got his back. Tell us a little bit about that. I hear there's some martial arts experience.
Oh, no, there are no martial arts experience. No, I he said I was his bodyguard and martial arts, and I run 10Ks. Well, I did run a 10K the next morning we arrived, because there wasn't a fitness room, and I thought, I work out every day. It, you know, just helps mind, body, soul. It just helps me. So I just started running down the road and timed it 10K, and yesterday I went halfway to Albury.
Albury.
So halfway there and then turned back around. So I think that was about 16. But I just like to keep in shape. And I like to take good care of him, and I get after him to maintain his exercise and rest. And I come along on these difficult trips because I need to take care of him. I need to make sure he's staying hydrated and that he's getting rest and help in that way. It's my job. Okay. Take good care of him.
Okay. That's beautiful. Perhaps you could share with us some of your thoughts about marriage. Oh. And you and Steve seem very happy, and
we are
9 children that you've been blessed with. And perhaps you can share for those of us struggling at home some insights into how to help the marriage be a success.
Sure. Well, I would say we have an unusual marriage, and I say that because we have had a very blessed marriage. We love each other deeply. I thought when I married Steve, I loved him, but that was baby love, because it just keeps growing. It just keeps growing every day. I love that man more and more and more, and I know with him as well. I did not go into this marriage thinking this was a 50-50 situation. I went into this marriage giving 100% of myself, and he did as well. And it we didn't talk about it. That's just the way it happened. As you may know, Steve is a convert. He wasn't a Catholic when we started, but from the moment we started seeing each other, he was happy to go to Mass with me. And then over the years, he came into the church. But I would say I put his needs above mine. I find ways to make his life easier because he's working hard so that I can stay home and take care of the children. And he will say, yeah, on my way home, I was thinking about you. What can I do to make her day better? She's been with the kids all day. So that's how we think of each other.
Wow. So you're both putting the other first.
Yes. But it isn't just the two of us. It's God and Steve and I and our children. It's a triangle.
Okay.
And that's
the Holy Trinity of marriage.
Yes, the Holy Trinity of marriage, absolutely. And our children see that. And our oldest daughter said, Mom, you make marriage look so easy. And she says, but it's not. And I said, well, if you just remember to love God, to love your husband, to put him first, it will work. You know, don't harbor grudges. You know, don't pick fights. Don't, you know, criticize. Just love him and be his helpmate, and you will be blessed. So, yes, we have very good marriage and humorous part of it. He's the serious intellectual and I'm the comic relief. Okay. I'm the nut. Well, we have a lot of fun.
You help him to relax.
Yes.
Because I imagine he's under quite a lot of pressure.
Oh, he's got so many irons in the fire, and I do worry. And sometimes at the end of the day, I'll be fixing dinner, and I'll, would you like a glass of wine, darling? You know, just and just to get him to relax. It's not something he would think and say, oh, may I have a glass of wine? So I'll offer that. Mm-hmm. And from time to time, that's just what he needs, and we talk. I suppose another key to our successful marriage is we have always communicated. We have communicated and talked through the good, the bad, the ugly, and we talk about everything. I can count on one hand in all the many, 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 many years we have been married, we have not had more than 3 arguments, you know, differences of opinion, where I got cranky and snapped. It has not happened. We don't argue. We don't fight. We talk about things reasonably. And the talk may last a long time. And I may think, okay, you're talking me to death here. But no, you've just got to communicate. And it's difficult. And my perspective on marriage is putting each other first, loving each other, and on motherhood, and being a mother of large families, we put our relationship first. We show our children that we love each other, and in doing so, they see how we are, and they are happy. And so,
the love between the spouses, the husband and the wife, for each other and for God, then overflows and outpours into the love of the children.
And the children are happy and secure and well-loved. That's not to say they're perfect, because, you know, children are children and they're learning and they're growing. One of the things we thought before we had all these children was, oh, we're gonna go out and have a date every week. Well, that just didn't happen. But as the children, you know, came along, we always took time for each other, even if it was running to the hardware store to get, you know, a screen or a door or something. That was just time together. From time to time, we would hire a dear sweet lady, and she would come and watch our children, and we would have a date, a formal date. But as the children and the numbers grew, I decided to have mom and dad dates at home. We would call them mommy daddy dates, and I would make a special dinner, you know, an appetizer, you know, a very special dinner, something that was out of the ordinary. And the children, the older children, would make sure that the little kids stayed out of the dining room, and we would hang up a curtain.
So it was an at-home date.
It was an at-home date. And we would, you know, curtain off the room, and
we would
have a new, you know, DVD movie or video movie in the day, and that was exciting for them. I would make them something fun for dinner, so it was their date, you know, pizza or some kind of chicken nuggets, and they would have their fun food, and then they'd have their movie and popcorn, and so that was fun for them. It was something different, just the children, while Dad and I had candlelight, appetizers, romantic music, and just the two of us talking, and the children did not come in. They did not bother us. The older children would see to it. Of course, I'd make sure the baby was taken care of, and it was lovely, and we still do that. I mean, we can go out, but actually, I think we enjoy our home dates more.
If you stay in.
We stay in, and the cuisine is fantastic. I love to cook. I love to eat. Now you know I have to run. But they're very enjoyable. We just don't have to worry about anybody coming and waiting on the table. I just see to it, and very enjoyable. Very pleasant.
And you're in the comfort of your own home.
Yes.
You know your children are safe.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. And they're the older ones now, but they're happy because they know that mom and dad are having their date. We have what we call the older half and the younger half, and now we're just with the younger half. But they think it's funny. They think it's sweet. You know, the boys might, oh, you're having a date. But they like it. They like it. They know that mom and dad are happy. And they see that not all families have mom and dad like us.
No.
And that's, you know, so for them, it's a good thing. And hopefully that they will carry that on into their lives.
For the children to see
love and peace and happiness. I'm not saying our home is perfect and our children are perfect. There are times when the children have argued and then I have to get in, you know, and when they were little, pull them apart. And when they're older, you know, talk to each side, you know, and counsel them. But overall, they come from a very happy, loving home. And our older children who will come and seek advice say, yeah, you were absolutely right. In fact, I was just on Facebook talking to a child. She's gone away to college and her first time away from home, and she's having some adjustment issues. And she said, you know, I just worry about, and maybe I should take anger management. Maybe I should have counseling. You know, I've always been like this, mom. So I was writing to her saying, yes, you were born, you know, a little spitfire. You've always had a fiery personality and quick to blow up, but so willing to love and forgive. And I was just telling her about herself from birth and ways to work through this. And I was telling her, you know, when I thought I was having a bad day or I would go out of my tree, I would go to the Adoration Chapel. I said I would find myself in the Adoration Chapel. And so I was telling her about these things and my experiences. And I was surprised when I got her response. She said, Mom, you're absolutely right. You know, you described me perfectly. And, you know, I realized that I have to do this and that. And, you know, I like your idea of, because I also told her, you know, be positive, look for the good in people, exercise. It's a great way to work out frustrations. Adoration Chapel, I said, you can go pour your heart out to our Lord, lay it there at the foot of the cross. I said, he's not going to talk to you, but you're going to let him know. And you're going to find peace in your heart. And I said, sometimes I would go in and I was crying or just angry and tense. Sometimes I go in because I'm so happy, you know, and just wanting to praise and thank. But I said, no matter what, I always come out with a sense of peace and I feel better. So I was telling her adoration, exercise, you know, good for the soul, good for the body, humor, looking for the good things. And she just responded and saying, you're right, I love it, thank you, you know, thank you for your advice. And this is, you know, one of my children who was probably one of the most difficult because she did have a fiery personality. But, you know, she was asking for ways to work through it, and that's a big step.
I think the advice that you've imparted to your daughter is applicable, I think, to just about everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
Communication.
Yes, oh yes.
Exercise.
Yes.
Adoration.
Yep. The, you know, frequent, you know, receiving of the sacraments. I don't know that she has the opportunity. She's not at a Catholic university. Our other two children are. She's at a state university, a state college in Virginia. And I know they have a Catholic center. And she has joined one of the choirs to sing on the weekend. And I suggested, you know, becoming involved as soon as she's settled with her classes and she knows her workload. I didn't want her to get overwhelmed, but I was happy that she went that way, and now she's going to find some common ground. And I was telling her, because she said, I'm having trouble meeting friends. This is a girl who's very social. She's very beautiful. She's intelligent. I said, you'll have no problem finding friends. I said, but good friends. I said, go to the Catholic Youth Center. That's, you know, where you're going to want to find common ground with people who share your values, your faith, your morals. Those are the friends you want, because what happens is you become like the people you hang out with. And if you are hanging out with somebody who is less than desirable, who has bad habits or a foul mouth or has no faith, you start becoming...
We're influenced by those people.
Absolutely.
We spend time with.
So you want to lift yourself up and find people that are like you and have the same beliefs, and you encourage each other.
I think that's really good advice to our listeners, the young listeners, and also to people in other stages of their life. It's
sure.
really important that what we listen to,
mm-hmm.
the people we expose ourselves to, and
the things we see on television, the movies we watch, the music we listen to, absolutely, it does influence us. So we want to look to the good.
We do.
And when we look to the good, we find God.
Well, we're both very much looking to the good in Albury.
Yeah.
Albury, New South Wales, in Down Under, Australia. Speaking with the delightful Mrs. Vera Mosher at the Life and Family National Conference, being held over the Australia Day long weekend in Albury, being brought to you by Family Life International and PRI, otherwise known as the Population Research Institute. For more information, please go to our website, www.cradio.org.au. We'll hope to hear from you soon. May God bless you and all your loved ones.